Hello and welcome to Radio EduTalk. This is David Noble in Dalgety Bay, and I'd like to welcome to the show this evening Gillian Hamilton, who is the CEO of the Scottish College for Educational Leadership. Good evening, Gillian. How are you?
Hi, David. I'm fine.
This evening, or for the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to be talking around the work of the Scottish College for Educational Leadership and also the development of the Into Headship qualification. But just in case, Gillian, listeners to this evening's show didn't hear your previous appearance on EduTalk, can you just give us a brief background to your career in education?
Absolutely, David. I think the last time we spoke, it would have been 24 years in Scottish education. So 25 years working in the system. I'm a primary teacher to trade. I've worked various stages in the primary sector. I was a primary head. I was a local authority quality improvement officer for a number of years, and prior to taking up post at scale, I was head of educational services at the General Teaching Council of Scotland.
And we'll just get right into it. I must say to listeners that if you do have a comment or a question for Gillian during the live show, you can email edutalker, edutalker, at hotmail.co.uk, or pop something up on Twitter and include the hashtag EduTalk. So my understanding, Gillian, is that the Into Headship qualification has been launched, and I think that was there was a lot of work done around the Scottish Learning Festival last week, if I remember. Was it 2 weeks ago now, in fact?
Probably.
I think it was. Time's passing so quickly. But can you tell us then about where the Into Headship qualification came from and what it actually looks like?
Absolutely. And maybe quite good as well to say a wee bit about our launch of the framework, which we also, which took place at the Learning Festival a couple of weeks ago. But in terms of Into Headship, going back a couple of years, one of the recommendations of Donaldson was to review the current routes for headship preparation in Scotland. At that point, there were two routes, the Scottish qualification for headship and the flexible route to headship. And Donaldson recommended that it was time for a review, and that a new route to headship should be developed. So actually, before Scale opened its doors, the scoping team at Scale led a strategic group looking at what the country wanted in terms of headship preparation. And when we opened our doors in September, we carried out a national consultation looking at what we would want a new national programme to look like. So that consultation told us that people wanted a clear focus on strategic leadership, on really solid headship preparation, looking both at leadership, but also really importantly at management functions, so that our heads of the future are sound strategic leaders, but have a really good underpinning of the management functions to enable them to take on that role. So that work took place prior to Christmas. From Christmas until the summer, a design group worked together, really quite a unique model of working, David. The universities who'd been involved in SQH, Education Scotland, who'd been leading FRH, the GTC, and a number of representatives from local authorities who had a history and experience of leadership development. And they worked together to really quite a tight time scale to develop the programme that was launched last week, the Into Headship programme. The timescale was sharpened further, I would say, when the government announced in February that this new qualification would be mandatory for all new head teachers from 2018. So at the same time as the development, we also worked with local authorities in terms of recruiting to the programme. So as you say, the programme was launched last week. There are 146 participants from all across Scotland, a number of universities working with Scale to take the programme forward, and a series of online management functions have been developed to support participants in the programme. So I think, as you say, we're good to go. Feedback at the launch conference last week was really positive. We had Tam Bailey speaking, we had a message from Angela Constance, and we had two head teachers of the year, 2014 and 2015, Mary McFarlane and Paul from St Ninian's, and I'm not going to remember his second name. And participants really enjoyed the input and were delighted that the focus was about making a difference to Scotland's young people. We were really clear that that was a strong message from the beginning of the programme. So over the next couple of weeks and months, the universities will deliver their input in the programme, with the participants completing the first cohort about a year from now.
And it's at SCQF level 11, as I understand.
It's at SCQF level 11, so successful participants will have 60 credits, and ultimately it will lead to, that will contribute to a master's pathway for the Scottish, for the specialist qualification in headship that will include middle leadership work, and I think really important, extended induction work, so continuation of the learning post-appointment to headship, and each of those sections will carry 60 credits.
So this is the first part of what would be envisaged to be a three-part master's qualification, is that right?
Yeah. And our original plan, David, was to develop the extended induction over the course of this year with middle leadership the following year, but we're actually looking now at developing those two pathways simultaneously, because when we've been consulting, it's really clear that there's a whole range of middle leadership provision out there already, and we want to build on that and use that as part of the framework and not start from scratch. So we're hoping to have the other two parts in place for this time next year.
Now, you've touched on how it's going to be delivered for the, I think you said, 146 initial participants. Can you say a bit more about the actual experience for these participants over the next 12 months or so? And would you envisage that the methods of delivery will change in years to come?
Two good questions. In terms of what the programme looks like, engagement actually started prior to the launch conference, with engagement in a 360 feedback process. We've been working with the ESCE feedback organised by the Hay Group, and all of the participants have engaged in that evaluation with their peers, and we're currently in the process of them receiving feedback from trained coaches. And that's really important, because we wanted to place interpersonal skills and the development of those at the heart of the engagement. So that's the start. And then in terms of the input, there's an introduction from each of the universities before they embark on the full programme. And the delivery, for all it's being a nationally developed programme, the delivery will look quite different across a number of the universities. So we have, for example, one of the universities, Aberdeen, their input is almost all online, although it includes face-to-face work through video conferencing, etc. Another of the universities will be using weekends or twilights. So quite different models across Scotland, but an agreed content with that design group. And that's the first time that's happened nationally. And I've forgotten your last question linked to that, David, so you'll have to ask me again.
Yeah, sorry. The curse of the double question there. It was just about whether, whether there's going to be other partnerships in the future, yes, that might develop the methods and the kind of forms of delivery for the programme as you maybe get into second, third, fourth year.
One of the things that we thought about quite early in the development was whether or not we should run consecutive cohorts. So starting a cohort just once we get the first cohort underway. But we decided not to do that, to be looking at recruitment again for a programme for this time next year, to make sure that the feedback that we got from the first cohort was used to inform our future development. So it is a first year. We know from our fellowship programme, for instance, that we'll learn through a first delivery. We've set up a number of processes. So we've got a programme board. The design group are also going to continue to meet. So we'll be gathering feedback continuously throughout the programme, and we'll use that to shape the future development of the programme. And we were really clear with this first cohort that we want their feedback, we want the good feedback, but we also need to know what they would like to see being done differently in future cohorts.
Now, I'm just checking online here. I believe it was only 7.5 months ago, I believe, that the announcement was made by the Scottish Government around the head teachers to have the new qualification. Where are we at in terms of the legalities? And so I understand it was a change to the Education Act that we'd have to go through. Has that actually happened at the moment?
As far as I understand, it's still in progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember the last time we spoke, there was... Obviously, I've got to nail my colours to the mast. I work in an independent school, independent sector, and I know there's certain parts of the education sector, albeit relatively small in the Scottish context, that are slightly uneasy. So is there still some things to be worked out here? although yes. I understand it's full steam ahead for maybe kind of local authority, aspiring heads, etc.
Yeah, but we do have some participants from the independent sector in this first cohort, and SCID is represented both in the stakeholder forum and in regular meetings with SCEL, and as I understand with the government, just making sure that any issues that are specific to that sector are discussed and ironed out.
Now, moving on to the framework, pardon me, can I get confused a little bit at Scottish Learning Festival? There were so many new standards coming out, you know, around career education and work placements and such like, and it was a fascinating topic for last week's show. So I kind of lost sight of the new framework that you've developed and published and put online just in the last fortnight, but you did speak about it previously, Gillian. So this is a framework for educational leadership. So what are the kind of key pointers that we need to be aware of now, and how will professionals engage with the framework in the future?
Thanks, David. You're right, the last time we spoke I was talking about our vision for the framework, our hopes for the framework. And it was fabulous to see it launched just a couple of weeks ago. And you'll remember from the last time we spoke, I was really clear that the work of SCEL is for teachers across all career stages in Scotland, as well as early years practitioners who hold the Childhood Practice Award. And two of our big first pieces of work have been aimed at senior leaders, really, you know, in terms of the fellowship programme and into headship. So we see the framework as a really important step forward for teachers engaging more widely with the work of SCEL. So what we've done is we've taken the original framework for educational leadership, which was published as a document a way back with the National Partnership Group work in 2012 that set out what a framework might look like. And we've taken that, we've the development officer, Tracy Henderson, principal teacher from Stirling Council, who's worked extensively on the framework. We've taken that report and we've transferred that into an online resource in terms of leadership for teachers at all career stages. So we worked with quite an innovative design company called Made Brave, based in Glasgow, and we've developed a framework that looks at different levels of leadership: teacher leadership, middle leadership, school leadership and system leadership. And at SCEL we've developed within each of those areas a range of professional learning activities. So self-directed learning that teachers can engage in at each of those levels, but made it clear that we don't see that as a pathway, that teachers might engage at different levels of the framework, that head teachers, for instance, might be looking at the teacher leadership work to support teachers across their schools more widely. And linked to all of those learning activities, we've matched a whole host of resources. So videos, academic research, links to other websites, reports, documents, and across all of that learning, Tracy's worked to link each of the aspects of learning to the GTCS standards so that teachers engaging with the framework will know where they're working with the standards as part of the PRD and professional update processes. As we move forward, the framework will also include a whole number of endorsed programmes, and we talked about them before, where providers can bring programmes to SCEL for endorsement, and then teachers working at all stages will see how they support their learning through the framework. So we see it really as a kind of one-stop shop for professional learning and leadership in Scotland.
Now, to avoid, I suppose, maybe for myself, any confusion, you know, I'm looking at my professional update now and also my so-called sign-off in a couple of years' time. For somebody like myself with some kind of responsibility within the school in terms of leading learning, in terms of management, but also I'm thinking about my colleagues who are in the classroom for the majority of the week, should we, when we're engaging with professional update, be going to skillframework.com and actually engaging there? You know, should one of maybe our two or three areas of focus around professional update be within the skill framework, be within the kind of leadership ideas?
We would, and I have to say, David, thank you for that plug for the framework website there. We would see it almost as the other way around, that rather than a requirement to visit the framework as part of that process, that as you're engaging in your PRD work, as you're identifying your professional learning for the course of the year, that you will find resources, professional learning activities and endorsed programmes to meet those areas that you're setting out. So we wouldn't want people to be seeing it as somewhere they have to go and tick boxes, but to be actually using it to support the development needs that they've identified. And I should say, we never see it, and my team will cringe when I say this, but we never see it as a finished article. It will always be growing, it will always be evolving, and we're already, in the last couple of weeks since we launched it, already identifying additional areas of focus that we would want to add to the framework. So we're encouraging the profession to let us know, you know, through Twitter, through our regular engagement, if there's something they would like to see included in the framework, then give us that feedback, and we aim to add that in as we're developing.
Now, you mentioned about the endorsement process this evening in the previous show. So that's live on the website. The application form is there. So for providers of professional learning opportunities, is there anything else they need to know before they start to kind of engage with yourself? And who or what have you endorsed so far?
We've sent out the information to a whole range of providers. And in terms of do they need to know anything else, the news section on our website has all of the information required in terms of endorsement, the application process, the forms that we would want completed. And what we're asking providers to do is to identify a number of things. And I think I spoke about this last time too. How does the work link to the standards? Does it sit in the STQF framework? Does it offer master's credits? How does it fit with the model of professional learning? What's the expertise of the providers? And what's the impact today of the professional learning programmes? Our first endorsement panel took place just last week, and that was a local authority programme that was engaging in the endorsement process. And we've had a number of programmes over the coming weeks, a coaching programme, a number of other private providers who've brought their programmes forward for endorsement, and they'll start to appear on the framework in the coming weeks.
And just finally, Gillian, there's so much development work taking place here. You know, you've got to a point where internship is taken off and the framework's been published, and it's a sort of live project, so to speak. What else is going on then? Is it going to be mainly around in the next year or two? Is it mainly going to be around the development of the second and third parts of the headship qualification, or is there anything else on the horizon within scale?
You would be disappointed if I said that there was nothing else on the horizon, David, when you look at the pace of our development this year. So as well as the development that I've talked about in terms of extended induction and middle leadership, other big pieces of work that you can expect to see, we've just completed a scoping exercise that was led by Dr. Mary Wingrave from Glasgow University for us on early years provision. So making sure that the framework meets the needs of the early years practitioners that I referenced earlier. And we're just about to embark on our next major piece of work, which is around teacher leadership. So you can expect to see a number of events, a raised profile on social media, really looking at what teachers are looking for in terms of leadership development at teacher leadership, because we're looking to develop our national work in that area going forward.
That's fantastic to hear, Gillian. And you know, it sounds like the team's expanding as well, and it's things have really taken off. Just finally, then, in terms of the kind of presence online, you're inviting people to kind of engage with you and to find out more. So, where are the best places on the kind of static web and the social web for folk to get in touch?
Twitter's always a really good place to start, David. People can follow us at TeamScale. My own Twitter account's at CEO Scale, and from them you'll find the rest of the team who are tweeting regularly, looking for feedback. I should have said, actually, in terms of major developments, we're about to review our website too. So our website's a good place in terms of inquiries, but listeners can expect to see quite a significant change in our website in coming months too.
Fantastic to have you on the show again, Gillian, and I'm sure it won't be too long before our paths cross, and you're always welcome back to give us an update on how things are going. So thanks again, and best wishes.
Thank you, David. I'll speak to you soon.